It is time again for the Warren County Radio Bible School, but as we do every Monday morning, instead of going to our regular studies, we're going to have our special feature. And then we will return to our regular studies, which is about Jesus cleansing the temple, as is told in the book of John. That is in John chapter 2, when Jesus cleansed the temple. But now, for this special feature, we're going to read from the Rockcliffe Review. This is the bulletin from the Church of Christ at Rockcliffe. And it captures the sermon that was preached that morning at Rockcliffe when this bulletin was handed out to those who attended. And the name of this was A Stone in Zion. And here's how this went. Troubled times lay in store for Jerusalem. But in Zion there was a stone, a tried stone, a sure foundation. It would be a stone of strength, stability, and salvation for those who believed, but a stone of stumbling for those who did not. Paul made reference to this stone in Romans chapter 9, 31 through 33, saying, Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, have not attained unto the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were, by works. As it were, by the works of the law. For they laid a stumbling, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. Paul again referenced this stone in Romans chapter 10, verses 10 through 11, saying, With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 2, 5 through 6, Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. In saying, Whoso believeth in him shall not be ashamed, or confounded, Peter and Paul are quoting Isaiah. Isaiah 28:16. I lay in Zion for a sure foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Isaiah 28 begins that part of Isaiah that is sometimes called Isaiah's book of woes. The prophet writes, Woe to the crown pride of the drunkards of Ephraim! Woe unto Ariel! Woe unto them that seek deep to hide counsel from the Lord! Woe to the rebellious children! Woe to them that go down to Egypt! Woe to thee that spoilest! That's Isaiah 28:1, 29:1, 29:15. 31, 31:1, and 33:1. As for pride-drunk Ephraim, their glorious beauty will be as a fading flower, Isaiah 28:4. And in their day of judgment, the Lord will be a crown, for a crown of glory and a diadem of beauty unto the residue of the people, Isaiah 28:5. But for the rulers of Jerusalem, they also have erred through wine, and through strong drink are out of the way, Isaiah 28:7. For them, having to learn the law of the Lord was as tedious as precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, Isaiah 28:10. But in their oppression, they would learn the judgment of the Lord from those with stammering lips, and another tongue, Isaiah 28:11. then indeed it would be for them. Precept upon precept, line upon line, until they be broken. Isaiah 28:13. These rulers of Jerusalem, falsely, though they have made a covenant with death, they thought they would be spared. They could be spared. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste, Isaiah 28:16. However, because they refused this stone and would not believe, God said, your covenant with death shall be disannulled, Isaiah 28:18. The provisions they had made were inadequate. For as the bed is shorter than a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrower than a man can wrap himself, Isaiah 28:20, and as it had been in the past, so it would be again with the Lord's judgment. As a farmer knows various ways to plow and sow and thresh the various seeds for his various crops, so also the Lord knows how to render judgment as needed. Isaiah 28:23-29. The stone that was laid in Zion was the promise of a Messiah to come, and Jesus did come, and those who come to him are saved. They are not ashamed, they are not confounded, and they need not make haste. But Isaiah said, now therefore be ye not mockers, lest your bands be made strong. For I have heard from the Lord God of hosts a consumption, even determined upon the whole earth. Isaiah 28:22. Well, that was the lesson for that morning. It was a sermon on Isaiah 28. And Isaiah can be a difficult book, but it is always interesting to go to those old prophets and see how that in the New Testament they use that language from the old prophets and incorporated it into their own words. And many times we see in the New Testament the fulfillment of those things which those old prophets spake. And that adds to the credibility, the believability, the evidence that we have of the reliability of God's Word. And so we read each morning from the Rockcliffe Review, each Monday morning from the Rockcliffe Review, because the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rockcliffe. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliffe, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now with that, we return to our regular studies, and we're doing a study of the life of Christ. And we're reading John's account in John chapter 2, where early in his ministry, Jesus drove the money changers out of the temple. They were in there buying and selling and swapping the money around and making money off of those that had come to Jerusalem to sacrifice. And they did need to buy sacrifices when they were there. But they did not need to be cheated. And it wasn't to be a money-making proposition, but a service they were rendering them. And so Jesus said, you have turned my Father's house into a den of thieves. Now here's what we read in Elam's notes. While the sacrifices under the law were necessary, and to buy them according to God's regulations was necessary, yet to make God's house in selling them a den of thieves was wrong and was severely condemned by the Savior. Just so it is necessary to preach the gospel And God has ordained that those who preach the gospel shall live of it, and the laborer is worthy of his hire. Yet it is a sin and wicked perversion of God's order to traffic in the gospel and to sell one's preaching to the highest bidder. This is a disgrace and profanation of the church of God. It is necessary to print Bibles and receive pay for so doing. And various kinds of religious literature are necessary, and those who circulate such for the advancement of truth should receive proper pay for their work. Yet to traffic and speculate in such literature for the sake of gain is to take advantage of the church and to make a godliness a way of gain. I see in places the bread for the Lord's Supper advertised for sale. It's not bread as such that is advertised and sold, but it is told in the advertisement that it is for the Lord's Supper. Those who make it and those who sell it must make a profit. They must make money. It would be good for them to do so, but it would be making merchandise of the gospel if preachers could be secured only from a combination or union of preachers, and that too only for certain amounts of money. This would be a combine of the worst kind. It would be making merchandise of the gospel and turning godliness into a way of gain to form a monopoly for the sale of all Bibles or to combine all the teachings of the truth. Do not suppers, friars, festivals, and all the fleshly entertainments to raise money for the church, as it is called, come here under the condemnation of Jesus. If one preaches, edits a paper, writes articles and books, or sells Bible for the glory of God, that is, for the peace and the advancement of his church and the salvation of men, that motive will manifest itself and govern the whole life. On the contrary, when one preaches, edits papers, writes tracts and books, and sells Bibles, etc., in order to get money, that motive will manage itself in control of the whole life. Are we not forced to think that the great sin of making God's house a house of entertainment, of traffic in religious wares, and a den of robbers is on the increase? We should not fear to be zealous. We read in the book of John chapter 2, in verse 17, the disciples remember that it was written, "The zeal of thine house shall eat me up." This is a quotation of Psalm 69 in verse 9, and means that Jesus' zeal for truth and right and purity and godliness manifested in cleansing the temple would consume him, or lead him to persecution and destruction at the hands of those so severely reproved. This courage and zeal of Jesus manifested here in cleansing the temple furnish fine examples. We are here reminded that some brethren, under certain circumstances, are very much lacking in both zeal and courage, and have expressed fear that others might suffer, be persecuted, or even imprisoned on account of their zeal and courage to stand by their convictions and speak out clearly in the teachings of the truth. It turns the heart sick to realize that in the face of this example of Jesus, any should fail to teach the truth, either through fear of persecution or of financial loss. The truth must be practiced and taught at all hazards. Now, those in the day of Jesus were questioning him as to why he was doing this, and they asked for a sign. John 2 and verse 18, "The Jews therefore answered and said unto him, What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things?" The Jews meant a sign of authority to cleanse the temple. Now, a sign means a miracle. The Jews at different times would request a sign of Jesus, and different times the Jews questioned his authority to teach. Now, we're going to stop the lesson there and take it up at the next class about the authority of Jesus to do what he did.